Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
That was just a little snippet of the audio from the viral video making the rounds this week on social media. Brian Scalabrine versus George the, what's it again?
George the Messiah.
The Messiah on the streetball courts of New York. And joining us on the line now, as he does each and every week, is Brian Scalabrine. He is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. Perfecting the art of fresh. By John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when drains don't flow, and by findmassmoney.gov. So, Scal, we have to start there. What the hell was going on that basketball court?
I mean, the guy called me out. I mean, what do you want me to do? You know, I'm just going to allow that to happen?
Nope.
I can't allow that to happen.
Oh, boy.
So, I had to
show him.
I mean, I don't know. I sent a message. Like, you, a New York street baller calling me out? That's so disrespectful.
So, were you happy with your performance?
I mean, you know, for preparing very little, I got like a million things. I got a million things going on right now. I guess, you know, I was happy with the outcome. How about that? How about we say I was happy? I was happy with, you know, like everyone, like I was really worried in today's day and age that people were going to call me a bully. So I'm really happy that people didn't call me a bully.
Well, he was giving it to you. I always feel like whenever I play someone one-on-one, all they do is hold, clutch, foul me, you know, and then wear my ass down so that by, you know, when I'm up 10-0, I got no gas left in my tank. That felt like that was a strategy for that guy.
Yeah, and I've seen him play before, and what you guys don't see is like he's got like eight guys with him trying to intimidate you. And luckily for me, I have like I had two of my coaches from my AAU team, Team White Mamba, and those guys drove down, and those guys were talking crazy, crazy trash. And they were 100% intimidated right from the beginning. You know, you're not going to win the psychological warfare with me. And at the end result was no one thinks I'm a bully, so I'm happy with the end result.
Yeah, Scal, I went to school two blocks around the corner, and I used to go down there for entertainment, free entertainment, when I was broke in college and watch games at West 4th. And it's awesome. And your trash talking level, and you're like acting like Maximus, just like yelling at the crowd, like, I'm closer to LeBron than you're close to me. Like, you took it up a notch, and it was impressive. I was worried, like, that just sort of having to go cold out in the court, that maybe you were going to, like, pull a hammy or
something. Oh, no. I play, like, enough. Just you know enough. What I mean? Like, I jump in with my team. Like, I have a workout later on today with, like, some of my players, and I get in just enough to know, you know, like nowadays you don't just pull a hammy. You actually know, like, oh, man, I'm like a little bit tight. But I made sure that I took care. The only way he was going to beat me was if I got hurt. So I just made sure I warmed up. Another thing, like when I was warming up, he was like, check ball. Like he was getting all mad at me.
I love it.
You know, when you're like, talk to Ted, when you're a pro or former pro, you're not skipping steps, man. You're taking your time. You're doing what you need to do, man. It's just like you get in a routine. I don't care what I look like. You know, I'm not like what is it, Jim Carrey and Cable Guy with like running the line, but I don't care what I look like. I'm not pulling a muscle. I know the proper steps to go through. And he was even then he was getting mad at me for warming up.
Which is great. Did you ever go to Rucker Park, by the way?
I've been there once as a net player, and the game wasn't that good, so I didn't play in it, but I've never played at Rucker.
Yeah. Okay. That's
is this a little thing? But I felt like that court should have had chain nets.
Yeah, it should have.
Yeah.
That was missing.
Do courts ever have chain nets anymore?
No, you know what? It's a huge liability, you know, like the hooks end up grabbing people and hands and stuff like that. So they do a good job. I think I think nowadays people come through and, you know, they get kind of worn out, and they think they those nets look good. They were fresh, and you know, you don't always see that. Sometimes you don't get nets, but no, that ended up being like a pretty good event.
So last question on this, because I always think about this when I do something that might be on the internet or might be dumb or maybe both. What was the reaction of, like, your wife, your son, Drew Carter, your boys, people in your world when the video went viral?
Yeah, so it's very very different. All the people you named, except for my wife, like, you know, she's like, you know, your kids go to a school. Like, I live in Dover. You know, like,
you must have gotten so much cred for this, dude.
Oh, yeah. Of dudes like you and normal, like, you know, like the dudes on the street. Yeah, but I do have a wife. It doesn't matter. Whatever happens, your wife is always like the one that's not going to understand, like, the whole thing, you know? She's just not. Like, she doesn't get it. Like, she doesn't understand. Like I'm trying to explain to her, like, babe, I'm not that special of a human being. I got to do crazy stuff so people think I'm relevant, you know? Like, she doesn't understand it. She's like, why doesn't everyone like you? I like you, but no, it's not like that, babe. If I didn't play this dude one-on-one, I don't have street cred. So, it's everybody was cool. Like, all my boys were texting me. They're crying emojis. Like, oh, man, way to give it to him. All that's been good. I was at the Garden last night. I didn't do the game. I was just, like, sitting there chilling. And the response has been good, except for my wife was like, you know, your kids got to, like, go to school. And I asked one of my daughters, I go, so did that come across your feed? Because she don't know anything I do. She has no idea. She knows I, you know, but all of a sudden she's going through TikTok and she saw it and she's like, huh. I guess that's my dad's side quest. Like, whatever he wants to do, just go ahead. So that was, but, you know, for the most part, the reaction, probably the same reaction you guys had, probably funny, laughing, and like, oh, man, street cred on 100. That's pretty much what it's been.
Hey, Scott, you were at the game, you know, being a public figure. Everyone knows where you're at. So we all knew that you were at the game for your birthday last night. In attendance, just watching the game. No JT, no JP, JB, excuse me, and it, no problem. I mean, you know, you see Drew Holiday step up, Derek White. Just your thoughts from last night's game. Anything stand out to you watching that game last night? Even Baylor Shireman comes in and does what he did. Just your big takeaway from last night's game.
Yeah, my takeaway last night has been the same takeaway for the last – ever since, like, Pritchard and White went for 40, it's like how amazing – of a luxury does Coach Mazzulla, Brad Stevens, Celtic fans, whatever you want to say, that our best players can sit out. And, you know, Derek White didn't play well, you know, initially made some shots late. Peyton Pritchard didn't do a crazy Peyton Pritchard day. And Baylor Shireman, a guy who no one probably expected to do that, goes off for 20. And that is, you know, we have a Drew Peterson that can go off. We have all kinds of different players. I think Jordan Walsh has won us a game this year. And it's just – That's a testament to Brad and Joe Mazzulla and the coaching staff. Like, it's not easy to stay ready. And, like, from a guy that's, like, you know, I was in the rotation, out of the rotation, it's hard to stay ready. And it seems like these guys, or Joe Mazzulla, they all push the right buttons. And they go with the guys who are playing with energy. And, you know, in Boston, you can have a name outside of Tatum and Brown. But, you know, I've seen Pritchard finish a game where Holiday was sitting. You know, I've seen him. I think it was the fourth quarter. You see how Joe Mazzulla just, like, sat Derek White out a lot and allowed other guys to play out. Like, that stuff is – I think that's exactly what you want to do from your bench, is, like, play certain guys, and when they're rolling, try to maximize every second you can from them. And I thought that was a good example of that. It does seem like we're always intrigued by this team when they have their guys sitting out. We always get these great performances by this individual or that individual. And it's another example of that. I mean, we're really good, and we were playing the Nets, so I get all that. But it is cool to see, like, the different – chances that everyone has kind of gone through and had their moment throughout this season. And we make fun of it, me and Drew, say who's going to step up to this, like, a cliche, but literally, like, a different guy steps up all the time. And I think that's a really cool thing and a really cool luxury to have if you're a Celtic fan and all that.
Oh, Brian Scalabrine joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. Baylor Shireman had a big game. Is there any chance that he has a role with this team in the postseason? Was that a taste of things to come, or is this just fun at the end of the season and then we'll get to the short bench and rotation?
Yeah, I think we're definitely going to have a short bench, but you know, it's all about momentum. It's momentum and what he could carry over. If it's can he carry it through the postseason and get a chance to play 2 minutes? What about go to summer league and have a big summer league? You know, he started out really slow, missing a lot of shots and stuff like that. So, you know, can he carry this momentum into being like the player that you want him to be? So I think that that's more than anything, anybody that plays well right now is looking at it like that. You never know what it looks like, off season looks like, with trades and everything like that. I'm not saying he's going to get traded. I'm just saying you never know. But, you know, but I do think, like, knowing that you have a guy that can do that, it might give you kind of some luxuries, you know, moving forward. You know, we are a team that's in that second apron, so you just never know what a team or the Celtics you're going to decide to do to save salary or anything like that. It could be give Baylor Scheiderman a bigger role, or, you know, teams are really interested in him. You can, like, you know, move him for somebody else. You just never know what offseason is going to look like, but it's good that he played well. I'm not sure that I think, like, Peyton Pritchard is going to be fighting for minutes in this thing. Like, that's just how these, like, the playoffs go, and maybe even Sam Hauser at that point, right? So it's, I think looking at this team, it's a good thing for him. He's got to continue to get some momentum, but we'll see what the summer kind of looks like.
That was an exciting performance, though, to say the least. The crowd, without the two big stars there last night.
First three, he's given the chef's kiss.
Oh, I loved
the first three.
But he's got a beautiful step-back three. Like, it's such an easy stroke, too, Scal. Like, I understand he's not going to probably get rotational time, but it's nice to know you have that kind of depth there. Speaking, though, please.
And just like just to complete that circle, it's like he didn't shoot it well at the beginning. He was thumbing the ball or anything, and your guys are exactly right. His shot is, I don't know if he's improved or is he back to where he was in college or whatever, but, man, it looks faster, quicker. How about the one he caught and didn't even bring it down? Like, there's some improvement there, and, you know, that's awesome that he's putting in the work and getting his chance to show it.
And regarding the starters and the stars the rest of the way, how do you expect the, you know, for lack of better phrasing, load management to be with Tatum and especially Brown? Like, 14 games to go, you know, none of them a must win. They're pretty much locked into the two spot, which is where we all want to see them before the play or heading into the playoffs. So how do you expect Missoula to handle rolling out the stars and the starters the rest of the way?
Yeah, you know what? I expect, like, a couple staggering, you know, let's say Tatum and Brown staggering, but I expect there to be a few games where they try their rotational minutes right from the start of the game and all the way probably through the third quarter. So rotational minutes in the playoffs for Jason Tatum would probably be 18 minutes straight. So you'll probably bounce on the, you know, the two timeouts in the first quarter, go through the quarter, get to that 7 minute mark under seven, and then he'll probably go out. So, like, something like, you'll see the guys do that. You'll see them what they play big minutes in the third quarter, and then probably maybe sit them for the fourth quarter. I kind of think they're going to start trending upwards. Remember, those guys are going to be playing probably 40 minutes a night, 42 minutes a night. You have to build up to that. You can't just all of a sudden just go to that. So we might see a lot of that, like those guys stretching their minutes out as opposed to playing like the short stints that they currently do right now. So probably, you know, like, you'll see this group healthy, and we'll see them like, all right, this is our playoff rotation, and we'll probably do it for three quarters.
Scal, I made the argument today in my opening take that, you know, I just feel like, especially if they face OKC in the finals, that Kristaps Porzingis is a very, very much an important player for this team. Last night, he was just playing out of his mind. I mean, 25 points, he was a plus 12, three blocks. What do you think's more important from him? Do you think his offense or his interior defense is more important for this team?
Defense, yeah. I think offensively we can pick up the slack no matter what, and the numbers would show it. But our restricted area defense, when he has played, has always been one or two when he's in the game. And what's amazing is in the games that he plays, even when he's off the floor, our interior defense is a lot better. So when you're playing against Oklahoma City, I totally think, like, they drive the ball more than anybody. You have to be selective with your help so you're not in rotation the whole time, and having Porzingis at the rim would be a big factor. So I'm 100% with you. If you're going to beat them, and I say the Cavs as well, you know, like, I think, like, those two, Porzingis wasn't as important to the team last year. Like, we probably could have won a championship without him. I don't think that we would win a championship without Porzingis this year. I just feel like if we play Cleveland in the finals and Oklahoma City in the conference finals, like, in a way, he becomes one of the more valuable pieces for us, because It's in the NBA, guys are just deterred from driving when they see a 7-3 shot blocker in there. They don't even go to gather and score. They almost drive to pass, and that is a massive difference for your team, and it allows Al Horford to slide into his role. So I'm with you. I just think that the East is better because of Cleveland. The West is like Oklahoma City's way better than Dallas was last year. Mm-hmm. And if we face them, Porzingis is going to be a necessity.
Scal, it's 65 games for the All-NBA in the awards, right? You have to play in 65. Is that right? With Jaylen Brown at 56 games, is that a consideration for him? Is that a consideration by the team to get him over that 65 for potential All-NBA or anything like that?
I don't know. He already got the Supermax contract when
yep.
he was.
Yep.
Yeah, so I don't know if they're going to, like, if he has back spasms, I don't know if they're going to push it just to get all NBA. The thing that Jaylen Brown has openly talked about is making all defensive team, and you won't be able to do that if you don't play the 65 games. Right. I'm not sure that that's high on their priority list. I think it's health, you know, getting right, you know, like working your body up. You don't want Jaylen Brown to sit out and not play until you go to the playoffs. But I don't know if, you know, how many games you say he's 9 away with 16, with 15 to go?
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll probably get 9. They want guys to be playing right now. You don't want guys sitting out like that. So I think just from the standpoint of getting ready for the playoffs, you want to start ramping guys up. So if, let's just say that back lingers for a day, one more game, let's just say that, I still think they'll be kind of ramping him up and he'll be able to hit that number. And, you know, then it's just a matter of if the voters want to vote him all defense.
All right, Scal, we got to wish you happy birthday.
Happy birthday, big guy.
But the only thing I could think of is I'm watching the game last night. You get the game off. It's your birthday. And where do you go? To watch the Celtics? There was nothing else you wanted to do?
My life is, like, really simple. Like, everyone says it, but it's like, I don't really have any hobbies and stuff. Like earlier in that day, I worked out some of my like varsity players for Team White Mamba, and I got a little chance to take a nap, and I'm like, what else do I have in my life besides this? I have my family and they wanted to go. I don't have like hobbies. I keep trying to tell people that, and everyone wonders, what do you do? Like right now, I'm gonna go work my son out, and then I go work out from 6 to 7:30. So this is what I do. Like this, there's nothing else in my life right now. I have my family and I have basketball. So that's where else would I want to go besides the Celtics games?
There you go, buddy.
Perfect. You love what you love. Good for you. You love what you. Yes, Stiz. You have a question for Scal?
Real quick, Scal. I just wanted to say, as a lifelong kid from Boston, a Celtics fan, it was great to see that George the Messiah call you out over the weekend, and with real quick, you respond, go to New York, put the beats on them. That's what we do here. Boston
represent.
Victory.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I know it's amazing. I'm 6'9", 260, maybe even more right now because Ted's been pinching my fat. And now, like this David versus Goliath story, I was David in this situation. Hey, man, I'll take it. But at no point did I ever feel like I was the underdog in this situation.
How you be, Scal?
Scal, have a good week. We'll talk to you next week, man.
All right, see ya.
All right, see ya.
That was
outstanding.
That was tremendous. So, Brian Scalabrine, king of the streetball courts of New York, and as Stiz said, represented Boston and his family quite well. I mean, his wife may not have loved it, but everybody else seemed to love it, so that's all that matters. Did what he had to do. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we'll talk about a couple things Scal said, and one that he said in particular that both Ted and I and Fitzy all kind of looked at each other and raised our eyebrows a little bit. We'll touch on that. And we'll also touch on the best finals matchups that the NBA might have and whether that includes your Boston Celtics. But first, we got Dan Ball with What's Trending.